Well, good morning. Good to see you all here this morning. Let's turn our Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians and chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll be reading from verses 1 through to 11 this morning. Amen. That special item of music just then, born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sins to forgive. And the Lord Jesus, when he came in that measure there to suffer. And suffering is something that God understands and that the Lord Jesus Christ himself went through. And each one of us, each and every one of us, regardless of our circumstances or situation, each and every one of us go through periods of suffering, some more than others, some in greater degree, but we all have various periods and regarding different matters. Title for this morning's message is God's All-Sufficient Comfort. God's all-sufficient comfort. I'm going to read for you verses 1 to 11 of 2 Corinthians in chapter 1. And the Bible reads, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for this blessed access that we have to the throne of grace upon the merits of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that you understand us. You remember our frame, that we are but dust. Thank you, Father, that you, Lord Jesus, have been touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You have been tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Thank you that you're a God of love, a God of mercy, a God who is full of compassion, a God who cares for us. We thank you, Father, for these things, and we come before your throne of grace, claiming the merits of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And do ask, great triune God, that you'll be pleased to dwell with us this day in the person of the Holy Spirit. That empty me of myself and fill me with your Holy Spirit this morning, Father. And that you would cause the speech and my speech and preaching not to be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Father, you know every heart here this morning. You know, Father, the burdens of people's hearts which they have borne with them here this morning, great or small, spiritual, physical, mental, whatever it be. We pray, Father, that you would condescend to us this day and that you would cause every need to be met this day, that you revive us and refresh us by your Holy Spirit. You minister to our hearts. Comfort us, Father, by your Holy Spirit, who is the great comforter. And in Jesus' name we do pray, and for his sake and for his glory. Amen. Is that better? Okay, sure. So there are times in every one of our lives we will face varying degrees of sorrows, hardships and disappointments. Now, we tough Aussies, do we need any comfort? No, not us. Pie and sauce, smash it into us, keep going. Even Aussies have difficulties, okay? Even we have our own set of trials and tribulations, and sometimes more than some people can bear. But God is faithful. He will not suffer us to be tempted above that we're able. And God sees our hearts, he sees our situations, and he knows our specific place that we are in, and he knows what it is that we suffer. We see here in verse 1 that the Apostle Paul was an apostle by the will of God. And we know that God, part of God's will was that he would suffer for Christ's sake. And sometimes that is the will of God, or sometimes God allows us to go through certain situations, but by his grace. Suffering was part of his calling. Also, we see in verse 2, let's look at some things here, that he says, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." And we very much need grace and we very much need peace in the church of God today. You say, how can we obtain grace? How can we obtain peace in our day-to-day dealings? It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ and comes from God the Father. And so how do we do that? We do that by fellowshipping and being in touch with the God of grace and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. 1 Peter 5:10 says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." John 1:14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Hebrews 13:20, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant." Also verse 21, "Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." And we also see in Isaiah 9:6 that famous prophecy that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And you cannot have grace without the God of grace, and you cannot have true peace without the Prince of Peace. How many Christians today are lacking in grace and in peace? Both of those things. God wants us to be gracious people. God wants us to be people who have peace. But how often is that not the case? Christians today don't get thrown to the lions. They just get torn apart by fellow church members. Not good, is it? God wants us to be gracious. God wants us to be people of peace. We see in this passage of Scripture here, we see in verse 8 that the Apostle Paul was going through some serious trials, trials which really had some ramifications. We see there in verse 8, he said, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." And according to Pastor Hester, "we were pressed" is the Greek word bareo, and it means to press or weigh down with burden, sometimes used in an unjust sense. "Also, we despaired," exaporeomai, "to be without an exit to escape." They were in true and difficult circumstances, above strength. Insomuch that we despaired even of life. This is the great Apostle Paul was speaking about. And he is in a situation where he is in a place of despair. Or this is where he has been. But we also see that Paul's teaching and testimony here is permeated with both God and others. And if you notice through the context, he continues to make reference to God and also reference to others. And one of the things that trials can do, which is not good, is it causes us to implode upon ourselves and to focus in on ourselves, and we lose sight of God and we lose sight of others. You know that acronym, J-O-Y, Jesus first, others second, yourself last. But we end up doing things very opposite. We start looking to ourselves. Others fit in somewhere, and then God, well, maybe somewhere as well. And that is a recipe for misery. So it is good that we speak about our trials. We have to think about them. But we should not lose sight of God in our trials and lose sight of the needs of others. There was a pastor who once visited our home, and we knew this pastor had gone through some very deep trials. And you could even see it in his face. You could see the stress on his face because of the deep trials he was going through. But that same pastor was asking others in our family about how they were going, because he knew that we had had our own set of trials, our own difficulty that we were going through. And even though he was suffering with what he was going through, and he was even didn't mind speaking about it, he was still looking for others. He's looking at the needs of others as well. Not good for us to implode upon ourselves when we have a difficulty. I don't know in every detail what everyone's main difficulty would be this morning. What would be the main thing which discourages you? The main thing which causes you to go cold in your relationship with God? The thing which causes you to want to give up and just not go any further? But God does. And as we see here in verse 3, that God is the God of all comfort. Where are people supposed to go with their grief when they don't know the Lord Jesus? Where do they go? When I was in the Army Reserve, one of the courses that I was on, we had this guy came on another course, and we ended up being on the same course. And I won't go into all the details here, but he showed me his back. And he had a tattoo which basically covered his entire back. And it was an abstract story of his life about how he had suffered under a drunken stepfather, how he and his siblings had suffered. You see, where do people go with their grief? Where do they go with their sorrow? This was part of his way of trying to cope with what was in him and what he was struggling with. Where do people go? But we can go to the King of Kings. We can go to the God of grace. We can go to the God of comfort. And we see here in verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. We serve a merciful and a loving God. And he is the God of all comfort. There are many things which we can say about God. God is the God of our salvation. God's the God of heaven. God is the God of judgment. God is the God of hope. He's the God of peace. He's the God of love and peace. He's the God of all grace. And he is also the God of all comfort. So we see there for one of our main points to begin with, the source of God's comfort, that is God himself. God is the source of our comfort. We try different ways sometimes to deal with our sorrow. Some people lock themselves away and they won't speak to anyone about what they're suffering. Some people choose to tell almost everyone about what they're suffering. Some people go shopping. Maybe I'll feel better if I buy something. Some people eat more. Some people eat less. Trying to deal with the sorrow that we have. Some people burn the situation over and over and over in their minds. Although every method is not necessarily wrong, we need to go to the God of all comfort. God understands, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. God is a God of love, a God of comfort, and how we need to seek his face and unburden our hearts with whatever it is that we suffer. We carry it like a burden on us. Sometimes people don't want to speak about their burden to others. And it weighs on them because it's something private and it's something big and something deep for them. They don't want to speak about it. But unburden your heart to the God of all comfort with whatever it is. A physical ailment. A disease you have. Certain difficulty with certain thoughts which bombard your mind. A spiritual difficulty, a temptation you're struggling with, that which wears you down and wears you down and wears you down, take it to the God of all comfort. God has given us the Comforter, John 15:26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And for what I understand, according to my Rogers and Rogers Greek book, they reference Hughes, and he says about this word paraklesis, meaning encouragement, consolation, comfort. It is standing beside a person to encourage him when he is undergoing severe testing. Standing beside, well, you know what, our God not only stands beside us, or not only is our God with us, but our God is in us. Our God is in us to comfort us. Our God is in us to sustain us. Those fruits of the Spirit, which we would all love to manifest, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, those things, they come from the Spirit of God. They come from the Comforter. So we see that God is the source of comfort. God is the source of it. Next, we also see the scope of God's comfort. Verse 4, and beginning of verse 4, says, "Who comforteth us in all our tribulation." Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. And you might say, you don't understand. You do not understand what I'm going through. You do not understand my unique trouble that I have. You don't understand the tribulation I'm going through. You don't know how it affects me. You don't know how much it drags me down. You don't know how much it weighs on my mind and on my heart. You don't know how much grief it brings me. Regardless of what circumstances you find yourself in, there is not one situation that God is not able to provide comfort for. Because he's the God of all comfort, and he comforteth us in not some of our tribulations, not specific ones, but in all our tribulation. Comfort for the Christian with a broken marriage. Comfort for the Christians in a broken family. Comfort for those who have missed out on an opportunity. Comfort for those who have experienced financial loss. Comfort for the repentant sinner. Comfort for the repentant backslider. Comfort for those who are grieving the loss of a family member. We still have hope in times of sorrow. Comfort for the people who have been betrayed and slandered. Comfort for those who have been mistreated by other Christians. Comfort for those who are in manifold spiritual temptations. This is the God we serve, and there is not one tribulation, there is not one difficulty, no matter how hard it is, no matter what you bear this morning, God is able to comfort you in your specific trial, in your specific tribulation which you are going through at this point in time. You say, but how is that possible? How is that possible in some of these most difficult, hard circumstances? Okay, I believe that by faith, but how is it possible? Because God's the God of impossible, that's why. God is the God of the impossible. When I did my Bible college at SBBC, Pastor Brad Williamson, he gave a course there called Biographies, and where you learn about God's working in different people's lives. And I've taken a couple of quotes from that. About John Patton, and he went to the New Hebrides, which is now modern day Vanuatu, and he went and served there. He lost his wife and he lost his child, and you think, man, what a sorrow. I mean, it's one thing to have lost your spouse or to have lost a child and to be amongst family and friends, but to be in a primitive location with no one to encourage you, no one to be there to weep with you. You can't just get on a plane and fly home. It's days and days and months on a sailing ship to go back to any other people who know the Lord. Perhaps there were other missionaries around in some of the surrounding islands. I don't know, so maybe there were some people closer. But whatever, an isolated, terrible spot. But you know, after the death of this wife, this is what he said: God is too wise and loving to make a mistake. All I want is to love and serve him till death and eternity. That's supernatural. That is not normal. That is not normal. That is supernatural. And that is the God that we serve. And God is able to work in your heart and in your life. And he's able to give you the grace that you need for your specific trial, whatever it is. He couldn't say that because he had no grief, because he had a lot of grief, a great burden. It was not as though he wasn't grieving, but his comfort was in the God of all comfort. To know God's sustaining does not mean that you don't have sorrow as well. He also said, I was immortal till my master's work with me was done. In great risk of dying, of being killed by cannibals, but he said, I was immortal till my master's work with me was done. So we see not only the source of God's comfort is God himself, we see also the scope of God's comfort. Now in the second part of verse 4, verse 4b, we see the purpose of God's comfort, the purpose of it. It says, verse 4, again, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And you know, it is a wonderful thing to know God's blessing, to know God's comfort upon your various situation, to know God's enabling power, God's enabling grace, but it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. God has more that he can do with that situation you've been through. God is able to then have you to be a channel of blessing to someone else who is suffering. When God has comforted us in our trials and tribulations, he's also equipped us to bring comfort to others who are in trials and tribulations. And you know, if you have been through a particular situation, God can use you to bring a unique kind of comfort to someone who suffers the same thing. Now, we can also, can still empathize with people. We can still comfort people with if God has comforted us in another situation, it might be the same as them. We can still comfort them. But there's something unique when you can say, I've been there. And sometimes it can be easy to expect more of someone when you don't know intimately what they've been through. Another story for you from the Army Reserve. Don't think I'm a great soldier, okay? If you want to talk to a real soldier, talk to Evangelist Glenn Weeks when he comes. One time we were doing this attack with blanks. It's quite fun. Anyway, attacking this enemy position, and we came under fire from blanks, and we had to do this attack. Anyway, and I was in charge of a couple of other guys to my right, and one of them was carrying the radio. And when you're moving forward, you, even though you might be different fitness levels or different capabilities of strength, you've got to stay together. So I was yelling at this other guy who's carrying the radio. Now, the radio's not this little beep, hello, we need fire support. Okay, it's a big, it's good size, it's heavy, it's like a box-shaped boat anchor. Anyway, so I'm yelling at this guy to push up, and he's carrying the radio and trying to crawl and everything like that. But I hadn't really experienced that yet, what that was like. Well, later on, we got to do an attack up a hill, and I got to carry the radio, and I got to experience what it was like to carry that burden, that jolly box-shaped boat hanger. It's a good piece of equipment, but it's heavy. So when you've gone through something that someone else has gone through, you have a unique understanding. But at the same time, if you have experienced God's comfort in a certain area in your life, and someone may be in a different situation, but you can say, I don't know what that feels like, but I've been in this situation before and I knew God was faithful to me. This is how he sustained me, through his word and through others, and this is how the Lord took care of me. So to have experienced God's comfort, comforting hand can enable us to comfort someone else. Also, just a point to note, don't forget to listen to someone who is suffering. When someone's unburdening their heart, take the time to listen to what they say. When someone says, you know, I've been having this, oh yeah, let me give you 10 verses and 10 points and, you know, an hour's worth of advice about how you can get through this. Just wait, just listen to what they have to say. And let them unburden themselves and you can get under that burden with them and then come alongside them and help them in what they are going through. Trust God for the wisdom on how to encourage and how to advise that person. Also, verse 5, we see the magnitude of God's comfort. Not only is God's comfort able to reach to any situation, we see the magnitude of it. It says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. The magnitude of it. Do you know God is able to match the grief that you are bearing with the appropriate amount of comfort? You say, yeah, I believe that God's the God of all comfort. Yeah, I believe that God can give me comfort in my situation, but will it be enough? God's promised he will not suffer us to be tempted above that we're able, and God is able to match his comfort with whatever the grief is. Whether it be large, whether it be small, whether it be medium-sized, whatever it is, God is able to match. We see that the magnitude of God's comfort. He's able to comfort in your particular trial. And yes, it's sufficient. God, who holds the planets in orbit, holds you. God, who knows the stars by name, knows your problem. Not only does he know you, he knows your problem. And his comfort, his grace, is able to reach the length, the depth, and the height of your issue, whatever it be, spiritual, physical, mental. Also, we see, verse 6-8, the cost of God's comfort. Paul says, "And whether we be afflicted is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation." So the beginning of verse 6 there, the cost of God's comfort. And the Apostle Paul suffered for the comfort and salvation of the Corinthians and other people. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered for your salvation. And that's what we saw here this morning in that song that was sung, "Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sin to forgive." See the heart of God, how God loved us so much that he sent his Son to die for us. And you know, unless you know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, unless you have repented of your sin, unless you have trusted Christ as your personal Saviour, you can't know his comfort, because God is able to comfort his children in a way which he cannot comfort others, which he does not comfort others, because they don't yet know him. They don't have his spirit within them. And you know that sometimes God actually allows us to endure certain trials. Why doesn't God just take the trial away? Why doesn't he take it off us? God sometimes allows us to go through it for various reasons. There may be something he wants to teach us. It may be that he wants to make us more like Christ. It may be that he wants to use that situation to transport you, even physically, somewhere else, as into another town or another church or somewhere like that. But you know, it is only what God ever allows. So imagine it, I suppose, in a manner of speaking, that God is there. God is there to protect you, and he says, "Okay, I'm going to let this one go through this time. No, you're not going to touch my child. Okay, I'll let this one go through." And like Joseph, you think, how could anything good come of being sold into slavery? How could anything good come out of being in prison? But he saw at the end of it that was God's way. God brought him there to preserve life. That is the God that we serve. God, there's no wastage in God's economy, I've heard it been said. There is no wastage, or zero wastage, I think it was the way it was put, in God's economy. But God has a purpose and a plan. And even when we cannot see it at the time, God is able to make his grace abound toward us. God is able to teach us things. Gold becomes pure, more pure, when it is tried by fire. Clay has to be moulded if it is going to be something useful. And the loving Heavenly Father, he with his hands has to mould us and to shape us. And sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it hurts. But for our good, for the good of others, and for the greater glory of our Lord. Like Paul suffered, didn't he? And he wanted out of the suffering. He said, he asked God, said, "Lord, will you take it away from me, this thorn in the flesh?" 2 Corinthians, same book, but chapter 12, verse 7 to 10 says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." God had to give that to Paul so he wouldn't get a big head. To be the one that God was giving all these revelations to, for not to think that he was something greater than what he was. He said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Three times. And maybe you say, "Lord, I've prayed about something 33 times or more,
And it seems that you're going to let me go through with this. And you're allowing me to suffer this. But what did the Lord say to Paul? He said, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. He said, I take pleasure in them. Things which are the opposite of what we want to go through. He said, for when I am weak, then am I strong. And you know, God is able to use your weakness to show himself strong to you. And maybe today you feel weak. Maybe you feel weak in spirit, weak in body, weak in mind. God is able to show himself strong to you in a way that no one can. Also, end of verse 6, we see the blessing of God's comfort, which is effectual, in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. If you've been comforted by God, there can be further reaching blessings for others. You'll be able to comfort others with the same comfort that you have experienced from the God of all comfort. Also, in verse 7, we see the privilege of God's comfort, It says, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. If you are a partaker of suffering here today, you have the privilege of being a partaker of God's comfort. Not everyone can say that. But if you, as a blood-bought believer here today, you can know God's comfort in your life. You might say, I'm going through a trial at the moment. It's so difficult. Be encouraged. There's comfort for you. The wounded sheep suffers pain, but it also has the privilege of being tended by the shepherd. The sheep with a broken leg is in pain, but it gets to be closer to the shepherd than the other sheep are. But we can all be close to our shepherd. God can carry all of us. There's some people who have suffered great things for the Lord, like in Romania in the communist concentration camps. And if I remember right, if my memory serves me right, I think some of those men wanted to go back there. Most terrible, terrible place, and they wanted to go back there because of the presence of God. God able to condescend to the most terrible circumstances. Also, verses 8 to 10, we see the hope of God's comfort. The hope of God's comfort. It says, we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. This is a real and genuine difficulty they were in. It says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. They were really in it. They had really suffered. And we can read elsewhere as well how Paul says about what the sort of troubles he was going through. Perils of false brethren. Perils of his own countrymen. Shipwrecked twice or three times. Night and a day in the deep. Cold. Hungry. Suffered all these things, and yet God was able to take care of him. We had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. You know, in our circumstances, that's an opportunity for us to trust God. That's an opportunity for us to place faith in God and say, God, we don't know all the circumstances. And we know what we'd like to see in this situation, but God, we don't know your overall plan. We don't always know in every point what you are trying to do, but Father, I don't understand it all, but I trust you because you're good. You are the God of all comfort. We had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet
deliver us. So not only is God's comfort there for us for today and for what we may have experienced yesterday or in times gone by, God's comfort, God's ability to work in us and to sustain us is there for the future as well. God is there for every one of our trials, the ones which we don't see, the ones that if we knew about now, we would not have wanted to know about. What might be around the corner, we don't know. What could be in the future, but God is there for every trial. For our entire life, God is there for us. God is there to be a protector and comforter, not only for today, but always. You know, I think it was back in maybe the earlier days of Northside, and my father was the pastor here. He said something along these lines. He said, "I can't tell you what tomorrow holds, but I can tell you who holds tomorrow." That's the Lord we serve. That's the God we serve. He holds tomorrow. Also, verse 11, the prayer for God's comfort. "Ye also help him together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." Praise God, we can always, always pray. We can always pray. And you know, you can have a part in praying for someone's deliverance from death or from a certain trial or for God to bring comfort to the heart of someone. They may be right across the world, but we can pray for them. And God's not limited by space and by time. And you can have a part in praying for someone. And you can go before the Lord with your own trials and tribulations and you can pour your heart out to God. How often do we hold things in? What's the hymn say? "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Take it to the throne of grace. You might not feel like it, but you might come away unburdened. And I like to talk to the Lord about things sometimes. It mightn't be the hugest trial for you, but even if it's just something to do with family dynamics or something to do with finances and something that's on your mind, before you go to bed, go on your knees and talk to the Lord about it. "Lord, this is the situation we're in. And this is what I'm finding difficult. But Father, I'm trusting you with it. Thank you, you're going to provide for our needs. Thank you, you're the God of comfort. Thank you, you're here for everything. And Lord, I'm just going to trust you with it. I'm going to place this in your hands. I'm going to cast this burden upon you and trust you to sustain me." And you can be unburdened from that and not have to suffer that thing. Praise God, we can always pray. You can be in prayer for others. So when it comes to trials, don't lose sight of God. Trials can tend to make us want to walk away from God or question God. Rather, let the trials drive you to Him. Let them drive you to Him. God's also given us a Christian family. You don't necessarily always want to share everything. You may not want to. There might be certain people you want to share with, others you don't. But you can share your trial with a trustworthy person and you can both pray about it. And you can be unburdened by that difficulty. So I trust what God's got to help you this morning. I don't know what in every detail what every person is going through, but God knows all about it. Let's go to Him now, shall we? And let's take any trials, any difficulties, whatever it be that you have this morning, let's have a short time here just to pray and to commit that situation to the Lord. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we praise you and glorify you. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you, Lord, that no matter how big our trial seems, it's nothing big to you, Father, and that you're all-powerful and that you're the God of all comfort. Pray for every person here today. And, Father, you know the uniqueness of any trial that one may be facing here today. Help them to come before you, Father, this morning, and not only this morning, but always to unburden their heart, I pray. Casting all our care upon you, for Lord, you truly care for us. I pray, Father, that you would help each do that now. Lord, just give an opportunity. You can stay in your seat, you can come forward if you like, or leave it completely in your hands here. But if you would like to pray and take a burden that you have, or perhaps you know someone who's under a crushing burden and you can spend some time right now in prayer for that person or for that situation that you are in, and unburden your heart to the Lord and just say, "Lord, I don't understand it all. But Father,
I'm going to trust you with it because you're God. You know everything. I don't, but Father, I'm going to trust you, and I'll trust you with the circumstances, and I'm going to trust you with the outcomes.